بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين.
We are discussing the ahkam of ghusl.
The Islamic procedure of taking the shower.
And we talked about the fact that the ghusl is divided into two types. Tartibi and irtimasi. Tartibi means sequential, where we have to keep the sequence, and irtimasi means immersion by immersion into water. So now, tartibi, obviously, I already mentioned in the previous class, there's one standard procedure of doing the ghusl. One standard procedure. All the ghusl in Islam that we talked about in the previous class, all of them are done in one standard way. So, we are talking about the tartibi right now. So there's one standard way, whether you do ghusl of janabat or ghusl of touching the mayyit, or ghusl of mayyit itself, or ghusl of, you know, for the women, the hayz and nifas and istihaza, you know, so, or the ghusl of nazar and qasam and ahad. All of those, if you're doing in the tartibi way, there's one standard procedure of doing the ghusl, which is we do the niyyat. That means the intention first for every ibadat. The niyyat and intention is a shart and condition. Second of all, we wash the head and the neck. And third of all, we wash the right side, front and the back. And fourth of all, we wash the left side, the front and the back. A little bit more
Further down from the neck, a little bit further down from the neck should be included from all the four sides.
This is min bab al muqaddama, if you remember. We talked about that. Min wudu, min bab al muqaddama, as a prelude to wajib. We do that as a prelude to wajib.
And likewise, on the right hand side,
we wash a little bit more.
Would be the more? That we wash a little bit more towards the left hand side from the front, and a little bit more towards the left hand side from the back. Little bit more towards the left, towards that side, a little bit more. So exactly half and a little bit more from the right, you know, towards the left in the front and towards the left in the back.
Likewise, in the left side, we wash a little bit more.
When you're washing the left hand side, we wash a little bit more towards the right from the front and towards the right from the back. Okay. Also, we include the underneath the feet where you are standing. So some people don't lift their feet, you have to lift your feet as well, so water reaches underneath.
Private parts need to be washed from both sides, when you're washing the right side and when you're washing the left side. Both times
Both of the times we wash the private, we include the private parts from the front and the back. So this is the standard procedure of doing the ghusl, and all the ghusl are done in this way. Now, obviously, you don't have to say the niyat like all the wajibat. In the, all the wajibat, we don't say the niyat orally. We just have to have the qasd, an intention in the heart. That's enough. That I'm doing ghusl of janabat, for example, you know, qurbatan ilallah. That's enough. So this is the standard ghusl procedure. Tartibi and irtimasi are the two ways of doing the ghusl. Now, there are the difference between tartibi means sequential, like this. We follow a special specific sequence. Head and neck first, right side second, left side third, after the niyat. This is the sequence that we follow. In the irtimasi, after doing the niyat, there is no sequence. You just drop into water. That's it. You drop into water. That's it. All the whole body once. Urfan daf'atan. It has to be daf'atan wahida, means in one shot. In the urf, in the eyes of the urf, they should be able to say, the regular Islamically intellectual people should be able to say when they look at you, that well, if they look at you, that you drop once into the water. Not just you are gradually going into the water. This is not called irtimasi. Irtimasi, by immersion, in immersing ourselves into water, means that you, in one shot, drop yourself, jump into the water. Once in one shot, and you go fully into water. Not by gradually entering into the water. That is not called irtimasi. So we drop into the water all at once in the eyes of the urf, and after doing the niyat. And when you, and water reaches every part of your body, then you can come out, the ghusl is over. It may take like 4 seconds. So if the time is short and you have a pond of water like this, you can do it, do the ghusl like this in really fast and less time. Differences between irtimasi and tartibi. What are the differences between the two ways of doing the ghusl? There are a few differences. First of all, taharatul badan, Islamic cleanliness of the body, is a shart, means condition. Before starting the second way of doing the ghusl, which means irtimasi. Whereas it is not a condition, complete Islamic cleanliness and taharat of the body is not a shart for the tartibi and sequential ghusl. Which means, if you want to immerse your body into water, your whole body needs to be Islamically clean and tahir before you dive into water. Whereas in tartibi, your whole body does not necessarily needs to be Islamically tahir. You have, after doing the niyat, you have to first wash the head and the neck. So if your head and neck is tahir, Islamically clean, you can do the niyat and start the ghusl. Wash head and neck. Now your right hand side was najis. So now that you are done with the right, washing head and neck, now you can first make your right hand side, which was najis, make it tahir, make it Islamically clean, and then start washing the right hand side. Now then, after you are done with the right hand side, now the left side were also najis. Now you can first clean the right left hand side in the Islamic procedure, proper taharat, and then you start washing the left hand side. So your whole body was not tahir before you started the ghusl. So, but you can start the ghusl in the tartibi without having your complete body. Some of the body was tahir, like head and neck, but complete body was not tahir. So you can start the ghusl in the tartibi procedure. But in the irtimasi procedure, you have to have your complete body Islamically tahir and clean before you jump into the water. That's the difference between difference number one between the tartibi sequential and the irtimasi way of doing the ghusl. Now the second difference between these two ways of doing the ghusl is that muwalat is not a shart, means condition. Muwalat is not a shart, not a condition when it comes to the first procedure, tartibi. So muwalat means doing things without a gap. Without a gap. Doing the things without a gap is called muwalat. So muwalat, doing the things, that means different parts of the wajib, we do it without a gap, without a gap in the middle. That means washing the head and neck, and then without having a gap in the middle, you start washing the right hand side. Without having a gap further in the middle, you start washing the left hand side. Now that is not wajib. You can put gaps in the middle. In the first procedure, which is tartibi, sequential ghusl, you can put the gap, because muwalat, that means doing things without a gap, is not a condition. So you can put a gap. You can wash your, after doing the niyat, you wash your head and neck, then you can come out of the washroom and you can wait for 5 minutes, then you can go back and then wash your right hand side. Then you come out from the washroom for another 5 minutes, you take care of your baby, whatever, and then you go back and do the left hand side. This is jaiz, because muwalat is not a shart, not a condition in tartibi. Whereas in the irtimasi procedure of doing the ghusl, muwalat is a shart. That means you have to have your complete body inside the water. There should not be no gaps. We just discussed a while ago that you cannot gradually enter into water. It's just one shot, straight jump and dive into water, so that the whole body all at once becomes wet inside the water. So muwalat is, whereas in the tartibi and sequential ghusl, muwalat is not a shart. That's the second difference. Now the third difference between these two ghusl is that any slight dry spot or area makes the ghusl batil and invalid in the second way of doing the ghusl, which is by immersion into water, irtimasi, second procedure. Any slight dry spot, you after doing the diving into water, you found there's one tiny spot in your hand where there was a ballpoint ink, for example. So it was a mane, it was an obstacle. It did not, the ballpoint ink did not allow the water to reach, or nail polish for a woman, anything that is blocking the water. You discovered after you dive into water, you discovered there's a little tiny spot of ballpoint ink. So this spot, obviously water did not reach there. So the whole ghusl is batil. If you adopted this procedure, irtimasi, your whole ghusl is batil. Whereas if you are doing the tartibi, sequential ghusl, your ghusl is not batil. What you have to do is that, let's suppose you discovered the ballpoint ink was on your left hand thumb. Now head and neck is okay, you don't have to repeat it. Right hand side is okay, you don't have to repeat it. Left hand side is also okay. Only this much which water did not reach, all you need to do is do the niyat and wash, remove the ballpoint ink and wash that much area where the ballpoint ink was. So you wash this much and the ghusl is okay. So, and let's suppose if you had the ballpoint ink on your right hand side, what you need to do is that your head and neck is okay, you don't have to repeat it. Your right hand side is also okay, except that area where there was ballpoint ink. So you remove the ballpoint ink, and you, with the niyat, you wash that much area on the right hand side. And then you have to repeat the complete left hand side again, which is after it, because there is a tartib and sequence required in those things. And if you had some ballpoint ink, let's suppose, on your head or neck, then obviously, again, head and wet neck washing completely is not batil, but all you need to do is remove the ballpoint ink from that area, and with the niyat and intention, you wash that much area now. Now, the rest of the thing you already washed, which is okay. You just have to, after niyat, let the water reach that much area where there was a ballpoint ink after removing it. Then you wash the complete right hand side, and then you wash the complete left hand side. Is that clear? So this is the third difference between the two procedures of doing the ghusl. Let me see if there is a fourth difference as well or not. Yeah, basically, yeah, these are the three differences.
So, there is a question for Irtamasi ghusl. What type of waters we can use for Irtamasi ghusl, like running water or stray water, something like that?
Yeah, we can use any of those two, whether it's a running water, like you can dive into a river, or a stream of water which is deep enough that you can dive into it and your whole body goes inside water, not gradually, your whole body grows into water all at once. So you can jump and dive into it, whether it's a river or a stream like this, then it's okay. Or if you have a lake or pond or even a swimming pool, which if you have a swimming pool, that's also okay for doing the Irtamasi ghusl. So the swimming pool is not jari, running water, but instead it is kathir, more than core water.
So when we are jumping into the water, can we wear underwear or...
You can wear underwear, you can even wear your vest, your clothes. All is needed, all what is needed in Islam is that you make sure that the whole body gets wet all at once. Even if you are wearing the clothes over it, that's okay. But the clothes will get wet and the whole body, the water reaches the whole body. That's the bottom line. Water should reach the whole body. You can do that. You can walk into the pool. Right now you did not do the niyat. After doing the niyat, take it once.
Okay,
just
so you can walk into the
swimming
pool, stand up.
And then do the niyat and just dive down once in one shot, and or water reaches the whole part of the body, then you come out.
That way when we are walking into the swimming pool, we are not actually jumping in that.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to necessarily jump. What is required is that you go into water all at once. So you walk into water, into the swimming pool in the shallow area, then you make the niyat, and all at once you go down into water. That's okay. You can do that much. Obviously, we need to make sure the water we are using is mubah, which we should always be mindful. If the owner of the swimming pool, the pond, whatever, is allowing you to use the swimming pool or pond. If somebody goes to a public bath, for example, where the owner, we don't know whether owner is pleased or not. We did not take permission from the owner. The ghusl is batil without the permission of the owner. Usage of water without the permission is not allowed, and the ghusl is batil without the permission of the owner. Then you got to find a place. First of all, we cannot do, no, we don't do tayammum in that case. We have to first go and search a place where we can find a mubah water available. Even if you have to delay your prayers, you have to delay it until you find water available. Yeah, then it's a different thing. But in that, even in that case, if a person is required to go and search for water, so if he doesn't search and delays, he could have found it, but he just doesn't search at all and he delays, that delay it's also will also be a sin. But obviously, when it reaches that bottleneck, the time is so short, if he doesn't do the tayammum, that's the only option remaining, the time is too short for him to search any further. He did not search, now obviously he did a sin for not searching for water, but now the time is too short, so he would do tayammum.
So the namaz would not be...
not be batil, namaz will be okay, yeah.
So the sin was committed, but namaz is still okay.
Correct.
So if a person search water, like he find a tap water, tap, or he find some pond, but he could not find the owner of that water, then in that case, what he should do?
Yeah, we cannot use it. Yeah, we cannot use it. Now the situations of shak and doubt. We may have two possible situations of shak and doubt. First, if a person doubts whether he did the ghusl or not. Second situation of doubt, that he doubts that whether his ghusl that he performed was correct or batil, invalid. Void and invalid. These are two types of doubts that can happen. We can doubt whether I did the ghusl or not. That's one possible scenario. Or we may doubt after doing the ghusl whether my ghusl was correct or not, or batil. So in this case, the law of the Sharia says that if you have doubt about whether you did the ghusl or not, then you have to do the ghusl. The ruling says if you have doubt about the ghusl itself, then you have to do the ghusl. Go and do it. If you have the doubt after doing the ghusl, whether it was correct or not, now the ruling says consider your ghusl as correct. You don't have to repeat it. Consider your ghusl to be correct. Yeah, the ruling says that that's your obligation. So when that's your obligation, then yes, in the eyes of God, inshallah, it is considered to be like this. That's how the fatwa says. So that's our hukum of Allah in our case. Yes, the fatwa of the mujtahid is the hukum of Allah. That's true. So the two rulings, is that clear? The two situations of shak? These are two possible situations after ghusl. Well, if you had doubt during the ghusl, then you do it correctly. Let's suppose I am washing my head and neck, and I have doubt whether I washed my nose or did not wash my nose. Well, I am in that stage right now. I did not cross the stage and reach towards the right hand side. If a person crosses that stage and goes to the next stage, like in this example, he washes the head and neck and now he moves towards the right hand side, then he doubts about the head and neck after he is done and now he is in the next stage, he should ignore the doubt. Ignore the doubt. But if he is inside the stage of washing head and neck, and inside during that stage he has doubt about any of the things, let's suppose did I wash my nose or not, he should wash it because he's inside that stage. So the law says if you are in a stage and you have a doubt, wash it. If you have crossed that stage and entered into the next stage, for example, you have washed your head and neck, now you reach the right hand side. When you already started the right hand side, now you are doubting about whether you washed your head properly, head and neck properly or not, just ignore the doubt because you crossed the stage and entered into the next stage. This is what we call qa'idatu tajawuzil mahal. Qa'idatu tajawuzil mahal. That means the law of crossing the stage. Mahal means stage. So when you cross that stage and you enter into the next stage, and if you are doubting about the previous stage, just ignore that doubt. But if you are in that stage and you have doubt about it, you cannot ignore the doubt. You have to now do it and make sure, so you move forward after yaqeen. So you address the shak and you wash your nose again. If you have doubt whether you wash the nose or not, if you are in that stage of head and neck, you did not cross the stage, you did not reach the right hand side yet, you doubt about whether you wash the nose properly or not, now wash the nose before you move forward. So everything of a mu'min's life is based on yaqeen and certitude. You have to wash your nose, and after you have yaqeen, then you walk go to the next stage of washing the right hand side. But if you have already moved to the next stage and now you are doubting over the previous stage, just ignore the doubt because this law will apply. Qa'idatu tajawuzil mahal means the law of crossing the stage. When you cross a stage and you go to the next stage, if the doubt arises about the previous stage, ignore it. Okay? This is called qa'idatu tajawuzil mahal. Tajawuz means crossing. Qa'ida means law. The law of crossing the stage. So if you cross one stage and you enter into the next stage, and then you are doubting about the previous stage, ignore the doubt. That same is applicable in wudu. You are washing your left hand side. Now you have shak. Did I wash my face properly or not? Ignore the doubt because you move from the face, you already reached the hand, left hand. The same applies in the prayers. If you are in the sajda and you doubt whether I did my zikr of ruku correctly, did I say the zikr of ruku correctly or not, ignore the doubt because you already moved from the stage of ruku. You stood up, that's the next stage. Then you went into the sajda, that's the next stage. You already crossed the stage. So ignore the doubt. This law will apply. But if you are in that stage, let me, you are in the ruku, and before you get up from the ruku, during the ruku, you are doubting, did I say the zikr of ruku correctly or not? The law does not apply because you did not cross the stage yet. You are in it. Here the law says, okay, repeat the zikr. You repeat the zikr, have yaqeen, and then move forward. Is that clear? So let me also... That's another box. So, this is the situation of doubt about the ghusl that, and the same is applicable for the wudu as well. If you are in the wudu and you are having a shak that whether I did the wudu or not, fine, do it. The law says do it. If you after doing the wudu you are having doubt whether the wudu I have done already is correct or not, ignore this shak and consider your wudu to be correct. Okay, so this is how which it applies on wudu as well. Any question about this? صلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين.